Welcome to the Leadership Decoded podcast. Here, we provide you practical tips to help you lead at your very best at work and in your everyday life. I'm your host, Dr. Will Ramey, a former U.S. Army officer and combat veteran, a current leadership and team development workshop facilitator, and executive education adjunct professor. When you think about a leader, what comes to mind? Confident, decisive, takes initiative, always willing to step up? What if I told you some of the best leaders actually started with a reluctance to lead? Today, we're going to break down what reluctance to lead is and how it may be impacting how we develop leaders for the future of our teams. Let's dive in. It takes time and effort to create a high-performing team. Leadership abilities is one of the most important areas to focus on for team development. Dr. Will Ramey understands the impact that leadership can have on team performance. He's led a wide variety of teams in the U.S. Army and corporate companies, from being a first-line supervisor to a senior-level leader. His programs focus on experiential learning for immediate application, transformational growth through mindset and behavioral shifts, and sustainable change to drive long-term success. If you're tired of traditional learning and development programs and are ready for a hands-on learning experience that will increase knowledge and provide practical application directly to your work environment, reach out today. Visit drwilliamramey.com to find a solution for your team. Dr. William Ramey, positive mindset, proactive approach, proven research. When we think about reluctance to lead, people may be shy. It might be a leader who really has influence, who has the ability to analyze information, who has the desire to lead, but they may not know how to get started, or they may be a little standoffish about, well, I don't know if, why me? Who am I? And so we think about reluctance to lead, what that really means. We want to recognize what that looks like in people so that we can not overlook who we're developing to take on leadership positions. So before we get into this even more, head over to drwilliamramey.com. I've developed research-backed, evidence-based, from my experiences as well, a few guides to help you have difficult conversations, understand what leadership is and how to emerge into leadership, how maybe to reset your leadership abilities if you've stepped into a middle management or senior role, and how to practice empathetic listening. So all of these tools are developed for you for free to help you lead at your very best and help you accelerate your professional development. Reluctance to lead. It doesn't mean that someone can't lead. It doesn't mean that they won't lead. Reluctance to lead is really a form of ambivalence. Someone may feel both drawn to leadership, but cautious about it. They care deeply. They want to serve, but that reluctance and that hesitation may be about maybe the power that comes with leadership, the burden that comes with leadership, the responsibility that comes with it. Maybe they don't want to be in the spotlight, but they still want to serve others. And this is where you really start to find some very powerful, impactful leaders are those that may carry the reluctance to lead with them, but move forward anyways. These leaders tend to be more humble. They tend to be more cautious. They tend to think a little bit deeper. Now, history actually gives us a very powerful example, one of which was George Washington. After leading in the army, he accepted the presidency with humility, but also unease. And there was some quotes from him about this unease of being able to step into the presidency and the daunting task of actually being able to meet the expectation of the American people. He wanted to do his best. He wanted to serve, but he's also quoted as feeling a painful unease about the situation in and of itself. And yet he became a very transformative leader, not only in the military, but in the government. So reluctance, when balanced, can actually be a sign of maturity. It can be a sign of depth. It can be a sign of emotional intelligence, of someone being very self-aware of who they are and what they can bring to the table, as well as being aware of their impact on others and how can they overcome that and be able to lead in a very impactful, a very intentional manner. So it's not a weakness, as it may seem on the surface, if people are reluctant to step into leadership. Why we miss that talent? Why do organizations often overlook reluctant leaders? And it's because most talent management systems are biased towards bold, eager, visible performers. The peacocks, if you will. I'm not saying that every leader out there who's stepping up, who's taking initiative, who's bold, who's who's visible, you know, is self-serving. That's not the case. I'm being a little bit facetious, but think about that. We reward those people who are super confident, who are willing to step into every situation, maybe the first to act. But research shows that organizations tend to identify high potential talent based on past performance, assertiveness, and stereotypical leadership traits. So if someone doesn't immediately raise their hand or exude like confidence in something, we may make assumptions. We may have some biases that show up in our decisions of, well, geez, that person didn't raise their hand right away. Maybe they lack confidence. Maybe they lack ambition. Maybe they lack drive. That's not necessarily the case. The problem is those assumptions are flawed. So we need to know the best predictors of leadership come from things like emotional intelligence, which may be knowing when to speak and when to listen. So if you know when to listen, you're not always going to be the first to speak. You're taking in information. You're practicing giving people the opportunity around you to have their voice heard. Could be next predictor of good leaders is learning agility, you know, the growth mindset. With a growth mindset, you're not always the first to speak, you're first to raise your hand, you're taking in information, you're reading, you're assessing, you're reading a room, you're looking around. You're trying to master your craft and continue to learn and grow and develop. Another predictor of leadership potential is humility. And humility is being able to admit what you don't know, being able to admit when you make a mistake, take accountability and ownership for your actions, and be humble enough to put other people in a position that maximizes their talent in their zone of genius. So humble leaders may not lead from the front as we tend to see. They may be leading from behind because they're giving team members and others the opportunity to shine in their strength. So these pieces of predictors of leadership potential may be part of what is contributing to someone's reluctance. So self-awareness shows up potentially as reluctance, but that's not necessarily the case. You got to look underneath the surface a little bit more. So we misrecognize this kind of potential when we not only lose future leaders because of it, but we lose the very traits of the leaders that we want on our teams. Emotionally intelligent, humble, agile, willingness to learn. The overconfident, the overeager leaders may think they know everything. They may think that they have all the answers already. Over time, those types of leaders aren't the ones that we want to promote and lead and develop our people. So how does reluctance actually enhance leadership? And the surprising truth is that leaders with a moderate amount of reluctance, again, this has to be balanced. They tend to be more collaborative. They're bringing other people in. They're gaining other people's perspective because they realize and recognize that they may not have the best answer. So they're more thoughtful in their decisions because of that, because they're creating a shared leadership responsibility with people around them. They're less prone to power trips because they self-assess and they are trying to get better and they're trying to continuously master their craft. They don't have necessarily the amount of ego and narcissistic approach to leadership as more overly assertive leaders may. People who have reluctance to lead typically empower their team more. They're giving autonomy. They're removing roadblocks. They're giving people space to step into their role, to play to their strengths. And so because ego is not getting in the way, they're delegating, they're empowering, they're bringing people together, they're bringing people in to participate more. They don't assume they have all the answers. They share their power. They listen more often and they ask for input. Now, isn't that what we want out of our leadership team majority of the time? Situational context depending, and now I get that. But those are the traits that really help build high-performing teams. So this humility, this combination of reluctance may make them more effective, more ethical, more sustainable leaders over time, especially in today's high-complex, high-stakes work environments. Now, too much reluctance can be paralyzing. Leaders who are overly hesitant, who can't make a decision, you know, no matter how much time you give them or how much input you give them, I'm not talking about that. That's way too much reluctance. There's a sweet spot here that we're talking about. So it's time to redefine what leadership looks like. Organizations, reevaluate how you're identifying and developing talent, what assessments you're giving to people before you're putting them in leadership positions. Look beyond charisma. Look for character and competence over time. And that very well may be quiet confidence, quiet character as it shows up. Create room for those who lead with quiet strength, who may be a little bit more introverted, in some situations because they're taking information in and they're giving opportunity for people to speak. And recognize that reluctance can actually be a hidden strength and not a red flag. So when we shift our lens, we find powerful, value-driven leaders who might otherwise go unnoticed. When we open the aperture up on who we want to lead based on not just our first impressions, but go deeper, these individuals who are out there are going to be great leaders for the long haul. They're not in it for power. They're not in it for praise. They're in it because they share a sense of responsibility, a desire to bring people together, to listen to other people, and to create a team that collaborates. So when we think about that, whether you're someone who's hesitant to lead, whether you're someone who wants to be responsible and step into leadership, whether you're the person who's responsible for picking leaders and developing talent, remember, don't mistake quiet for incapable. Don't confuse caution with apathy. And don't overlook reluctance because they might just be your very best future leader. Let's make more room at the table for different perspectives, different skills, different experiences, different abilities. Thank you for tuning in to Leadership Decoded. If you enjoyed today's episode, give us a like, drop us a comment, let us know how we're doing. Share it with your fellow leaders so everyone has the opportunity to learn and be at their very best. Don't forget to head over to drwilliamramey.com and grab your absolutely free Leadership Reset Emerging Leader Guides to help you develop your leadership abilities, accelerate your growth, and lead with confidence. If you want to keep the conversation going, you can connect with me on LinkedIn at Dr. William Ramey, on Instagram at Leadership Decoded Pod or WillRamey1, or check out my YouTube channel, Leadership Decoded Podcast, where I drop a new episode each week. I also have shorts out there if you need a little bit of micro learning in your day. You can find opportunities to learn no matter where you're at. Take us on the go. Thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Dr. Will Ramey, and I'll see you the next time you press play.